Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to talk about a couple murder sentencing news stories. And for that, I think there are people in this audience, conservatives, who will like what we're going to say. In fact, we might share a little bit of audio back when I was on Court TV talking about Scott Peterson's penalty phase of his trial. He murdered his wife and unborn child, Connor, Lacey and Connor. And so for those stories, I'll probably get thumbs up. But then there are a couple other stories that I'll mention first that, well, I think that there are people in the audience who we have a conservative skewing audience. And I think there are people who might get upset. But we've long said on this show that there is no right to anonymity. And this particular story is from CNN, and it's talking about facial recognition software going everywhere in public. And so there are people real upset because they say they have a right to privacy. And so your right to privacy in public is something I've never quite wrapped my mind around. I mean, you have a right to privacy in your home, right? But a right to privacy on the street? I don't get that. I don't see that. I also do not see that there's a right to anonymity as though you have a right not to be known. For example, if there are people in our country and we're wondering, what are those people doing here? It seems that the government would have a right to establish their identity, to find out who they are. And the government cannot do that if they don't have the right to know your identity. So the concern about Big Brother. Now, Big Brother, remember George Orwell? Remember George Orwell? Three of our boys, the three that were currently homeschooling, the other four are grown. But our three boys at home, three teenagers, they're all reading Animal Farm right now. And they're taking a class. We homeschool. But there's a Christian teacher in the community who's teaching a class on socialism and the harms of socialism and so on and communism. And they're reading Animal Farm by George Orwell. And he also wrote 1984. Remember that? I remember reading both those books way back in the 70s. And 1984, a Big Brother was watching you in your home from your television. Was it from your television or was it just a camera? All over, they were watching you in your home. So that, of course, is immoral and unjust. But as far as a right to privacy, that's when you're in private. I do not believe you can establish that you have a right to privacy in public. So if there's so much crime, which there is, because we have the nation is in a moral free fall, and the ones who have the answers, who should have the answers, Christians, many Christians are not taught what God says about criminal justice. And so there's almost no one in the nation who is advocating public policy that would make us a safe nation. Very few. So anyway, facial recognition software in public. Do you have a right to privacy in public? I don't think so. The other story that before we get to these sentences, well, one, the sentence was carried out. The other, it can't be carried out hardly. It'll take like 60 years to carry it out. It's hard to swiftly carry out a sentence that takes 60 years, right? The Bible says that people will not commit crime in like epidemic numbers if the sentence against a convicted criminal is executed speedily. Speedily. That's what the Bible says. So you can't execute a life sentence speedily. Well, unless you shorten their life, but then they wouldn't call it a life sentence. So how do you shorten a You got 20 years in jail. How do you execute that speedily? Speed up time? Can't do that. Okay, the second story I think that'll get me in trouble. The first was facial recognition software, and there is no right to privacy in public. And the second, then, is in Africa, there is a country that you understand what they're doing and why, but it's the justice of the matter. The country of Angola has become the first country, at least in modern times, to ban Islam and Muslims. It's against the law to be a Muslim in Angola. And, you know, I heard somebody on Fox News, it wasn't one of the hosts, and this was just maybe 3 days ago, saying that, of course, we need religious freedom rights in America. And then they said, except for Islam. And obviously I noticed that. And so we are not, in America, we do not have a national covenant with God. The body of Christ has an international covenant. There is no national covenant any longer with God. Israel had a national covenant, and in that national covenant, God prohibited other religions from being practiced. Now, God did. The nation actually never cared, for the most part. We're going through 1 Kings in our Sunday morning Bible studies at Denver Bible Church. We meet at right near Sheridan and 92nd. You could find our address at denverbiblechurch.org. And so we've been going through 1 Kings, and we've studied a lot, we've learned a lot about God's covenant with Israel, and it was a national covenant, and other religions were banned. They weren't allowed. By the way, in the next 2 weeks, we're not going to have our regularly scheduled Sunday school. We're going to do something different. I will be presenting a seminar on the global flood and the hydroplate theory on December 17th in Indianapolis. And for the next two Sunday mornings, Sunday school, 9:30 to 10:30, we will be giving previews of that seminar. Basically, the church is, they're going to be guinea pigs. We'll be testing out the seminar material. Some of it has already been tested, audience approved and all. But we'll be testing a couple more sections of the seminar in the next two Sunday mornings. So if you're in the Denver area, or if you'll be here, then what is that, December 1st and December 8th, I believe. Come on out. Go to denverbiblechurch.org. And click on the map, get the address, and you'll be welcome. And we'll have a great time in Sunday school, 9:30 to 10:30 in the morning. But so I mentioned that because we're doing our verse-by-verse study of 1 Kings. We're up to 1 Kings chapter 15. And so we've learned a lot about Israel and how God wanted Israel to operate. And they had a national covenant where other religions were banned. But today, the body of Christ has an international covenant. There is no national covenant with God's people on earth today. Right? In Israel, it was so strong, God's rules. If you had married someone who was outside of the covenant, according to the Bible, you were to divorce them. In the book of Ezra, remember that? You take your foreign wives who were not part of Israel's covenant and divorce them according to the law. That's what the Bible said. Now, is that true today for people in God's covenant? No, Daryl. No, Daryl's saying, Daryl's joking. No, Paul says, as Daryl can quote from memory, Paul says, Daryl's our board operator today, the Apostle Paul says that if you are married to an unbeliever, don't divorce them. Now, it was different for Israel. So that's when God inspired Paul to write to the Gentiles and Jews of the body of Christ about the things that differ. And that's when he said, now I say, and, you know, not the previous covenant, but I am saying. It wasn't he was a cowboy speaking of his own authority. God gave him some distinctives for the body of Christ, and that included that we're no longer a national covenant. And so would you be pleasing God if you told Jews they cannot worship as they choose? No, you would not. Would you be pleasing God if you told, say, Hindus, Buddhist or sort of atheist, right? Hindus, that they cannot worship their tens of thousands of gods or millions of gods? No, you have no authority. The government has no authority to prohibit the worship of the true God or a false God like Allah, or to study and to promote the teachings of a true prophet like Moses or Isaiah, or to study and promote the teachings of a false prophet like Muhammad. The government has no such authority. Now, one of the guys in one of these two news stories that I think people will not be upset at me with is a white supremacist who's been put to death. I forget the method of execution. I think they softened him to death in a tub of Jergens lotion. Is that what they did to him? They killed him with a comfy pillow. I think that's how they finally executed this guy. But if his religion included that you should kill, say, some racial minority, well, then that's a crime, right? So if you have people in a religion that are saying that it's justified to kill and then fill in the blank, Italians. I'll say that. That's safe, right? I'm half Italian. So if I never heard of that religion. Must be the Swedes. So if there are religious people who are white supremacists who say that you should kill racial minorities, well, then they could be prosecuted for conspiracy to murder and perhaps attempted murder, but certainly conspiracy to murder. But it's not the same as banning a religion, banning the worship of a false god or the true god. And so Angola bans Islam, and Angola bans Muslims, and you could understand their motivations, of course, but it would be wrong to do. So, now to the two news stories that I think people will not be upset about. The one is, this is a sentence here in Colorado. Had this for a couple days, just a couple days here. A Colorado murderer gets life for killing a girl. Now, that is a phrase that should never be uttered in the history of criminal justice. Murderer gets life. Isn't that the opposite? God said they get death. God said they get death. And today, people call good evil and evil good.
Adam got life.
Adam got life. Say what, Daryl?
From God.
Oh, God gave Adam life.
Right.
See, Daryl's now barged right onto the air. Good for you, Daryl. Welcome. And so what did God say to Noah when somebody kills someone, when a person sheds the innocent blood of another person? What did God say? Give them life?
No, put to death.
They must be put to death. Thank you, Daryl, for that authoritative word, quoting God's word, which makes it authoritative. So this headline, Colorado murderer gets life, completely a tragic situation where you commit murder, you're supposed to get death, and so we give people life. And then there is this white supremacist who murdered, he also shot Larry Flint. And Larry Flint, he and I were on, what were we on? Politically Incorrect together with Bill Maher on ABC. In fact, you could get that from us. Go to our store, kgov.com. You'll see a DVD, Bob Debates the Stars. And this has the segments I was on with Jimmy Kimmel, a couple different shows, Martin Short, Judd Nelson. Who's that? Oh, I remember. Donny Osmond, Cisco, a rapper, and Larry Flint and others. So on that show quite a few times. And so there's all the segments on one DVD, and so you could check that out. But Larry Flynt, he says, you know, the government shouldn't be executing people. You know, liberals say execution is, it's cruel and unusual punishment. Cruel and unusual. So he says, besides, they should keep them alive in jail because it's worse. So, well, wait a minute. If the other was cruel, why would you want something that's worse? Whenever you argue against the truth, whenever you argue against God, it's usually really easy to see how broken and how wrong you are, how self-contradictory you are. So this white supremacist, he committed his crimes. He murdered 22 people, and he shot Larry Flynt and others. And that was back from 1977 to 1980, and he's just now executed on Wednesday, just this past Wednesday. So, and they put him to death through lethal injection. And that's almost like being killed with a comfy pillow. You know, they put the alcohol on to make sure that they kill all the germs on your skin. Then they make sure they use a sterile needle. And they, you're thinking, what in the world? Why don't, you know how they, the electric chair, they called it Old Sparky? Old Sparky. If they got to do lethal injections, at least use Old Rusty. At least use the same needle. I mean, why waste the money for a new needle every time? So, I thought they had softened him to death in a tub of, like, Vaseline or palm olive. Remember that palm olive dish soap? You're soaking in it. Ooh, what's this? I thought I was on kitchen duty. No, you're soaking in it. We're softening you to death for your lethal, instead of a lethal injection. So God says that the death penalty, it should be horrifying. And we try to make it very civilized, clean it up, you know. So let's go to Court TV back when Scott Peterson was being sentenced for the murder of his wife, an unborn child, and let's hear this from way back when.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Scott Lee Peterson, guilty of the crime of murder of Lacey DeVee Peterson.
Welcome back to Court TV's special coverage of the Scott Peterson murder trial, the penalty phase. I'm James Curtis, along with Lisa Bloom. Yesterday, a group of pro-death penalty advocates were handing out these pamphlets. Bob Inyart, a Denver pastor, was responsible for the propaganda. He told CourtTV.com that, quote, Scott Peterson should be put to death because all convicted murderers should be executed, end quote. The pamphlets weren't the first time Inyart voiced his opinion on a high-profile murder trial. In 1999, Inyart bought two of O.J. Simpson's football jerseys for $6,000. He then bought Simpson's Hall of Fame induction certificate for $10,000. Inyart and supporters then burned the two jerseys in front of the Los Angeles courthouse, a display that I remember well, being one of the talking heads commenting on the O.J. Simpson case at that time. And now I'd like to welcome to the program Bob Inyart, who is the pastor of and TV host, pastor of the Denver Bible Church and talk show host of KGOV.com. Pastor, welcome to the program.
James, thank you so much for having me on. And at Denver Bible Church, we want to praise these jurors, really thank them for their guilty verdict. But that but that thank you is to them and not an endorsement of the system.
Okay, hold on a second, Bob. Let me get some questions in here.
Yeah.
I want to, first of all, ask you, in light of the history of what you've done, the purchase of the jerseys and now handing out these pamphlets in front of this courthouse, a lot of people might say, you're a nut. What are you doing buying these jerseys, burning them in front of Los Angeles Stadium, and handing out pamphlets that could very well affect what happens inside this courtroom? How would you respond to that?
Well, we'd hope we could affect what happens in any criminal case because justice demands the execution of a convicted murderer.
Okay, I understand that, Bob, but what about the idea that what you do outside of this courthouse And I want to get Jim Cohen, who is a Fordham Law School professor, your take on this, Jim, from an academic point of view, might have a negative effect, that is, go absolutely against what you're trying to achieve. What about the fact that you might cause a mistrial or something to happen, so
okay.
This whole thing has to get done all over again?
Your question makes our point that our criminal justice system is broken and we need a new one. If a couple kids handing out flyers could derail a multi-million dollar trial or lose the death penalty for a murderer, that doesn't condemn the kid. It condemns the system.
Okay,
our system is broken.
I got your point. Let me get Jim Cohen in on this discussion. Jim, you're a law school professor. You're the clinical director of the clinical law program at Fordham. What do you say to that?
I think it's nonsense. The criminal justice system is not perfect. There's no one that will claim it is, but it's a carefully balanced system designed to provide some measure of fairness for both the defendant and the state. Having people out there spreading what sounds like at least semi-religious dogma.
Completely religious.
Completely religious dogma,
yeah.
That's fine. Could not only cause a mistrial, it could backfire in the sense that some jurors may be offended that on the grounds of religion, the death penalty is being requested.
Certainly. Dean Johnson, you're a criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor. What could happen, and what have you seen in your vast experience of things like this, things that happen outside of the courtroom, working their way into the process inside the courtroom?
Well, you know, we're very close to the line of having that happen here. We've already seen motions regarding the alleged mob reaction to the Peterson verdict. I think as we get more and more high-profile trials and more people like Reverend Inyot get attracted to these trials, we may very well have to deal with the issue of cases being tried outside the courtroom as well as inside the courtroom. Unfortunately, people like this negatively affect the First Amendment rights of the entire public, because the more this happens, the less and less we're going to have public trials, the more and more we're going to see sequestered juries. I think these guys are undermining the system. And as a former prosecutor, current defense attorney, I can say that the Reverend's view on the death penalty is grossly simplistic. It is certainly not the case.
Hey, Lisa,
who suffer a conviction for murder always deserve the death penalty.
Yep, let me jump in.
Hey, Lisa.
Here's the problem I have. You put on these pamphlets, jury safe.
Right.
Nothing could be further from the truth. If you taint this jury, if you presume to step in the shoes of this jury and tell them your opinion when they're deciding a very sensitive matter or life and death for this murderer, you're undermining what the state is trying to do, namely get a death sentence for Scott Peterson.
All right, Lisa, when the jurors are sequestered in hotel rooms, do they systematically remove all the Bibles, the Gideon Bibles?
I don't know what that has to do with
Well,
my
it has everything to do with
you're
it because
handing out
Lisa,
a pamphlet to
let
them
me
calling for the death penalty. The Bible doesn't have the word Scott Peterson in it last time I checked.
That pamphlet doesn't have the name Scott Peterson. It makes no reference to any specific.
It's got a picture of him on the front, Pastor.
That's a different pamphlet.
And
we
that
had
was
a jury
out. There it is.
You're
that's
wrong.
Scott Peterson, who is that?
Let your producer show our jury safe pamphlet.
We got both of them up.
And that has no reference to any case whatsoever, but it quotes Jesus twice in the Gospels saying, let them be put to death, because the Old and New Testaments make the point that if there is no justice on earth, people will reject the God of justice in heaven, so that Christians want to tell those in the criminal justice system that the system is broken and murderers should be executed.
Okay, Pastor Inyot, hold on a second. Let me get Paul Podesta in on this. Paul, you talked about the circus atmosphere. Is this an example of what you were talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I try to have respect for everybody and give everybody the benefit of the doubt. The Bible also quotes Jesus as saying, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. The Bible can be played in any number of directions. What really interests me is, first of all, O.J. Simpson was not a convicted killer. He was acquitted. Where does the Reverend Inyot come up with the $10,000 to buy the T-shirts and the induction certificate? Where does he come up with the funds to send people long distances to hand out pamphlets that are clearly intended to influence the outcome of this case?
All right, Pastor Bob Inyot, we've got about 15 seconds left. I know it's a short period of time, but go ahead and give us your final comments and go ahead and address whatever other comments you'd like to.
Yeah, Christianity is based on the death penalty. Christ was crucified, and that was the requirement, the proper penalty for sin. So those who undermine the death penalty actually undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's why Christians are becoming more active in pointing out our system is not the best system in the world. We have one of the highest murder rates, violent crime rates, and incarceration rates in the world, but we have the highest paid lawyers in the world. Therefore, the lawyers tell us we have the best system. Our system is broken. We need a new one.
All right, Pastor Bob Inyard, we're going to let you have the last word. Pastor Bob Inyard, pastor of the Denver Bible Church, talk show host, KGOV.com. He has a website if you'd like to check that out. And he's the one responsible for buying the O.J. Simpson jerseys. I've wanted to talk to you for a long time, Pastor. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you, James.
All right.
All right. So, of course, these hosts and these attorneys on Court TV at the time. What is Court TV? Today it's True TV. I think it's True TV today. And so, of course, they say we have a great system. It's not perfect, but it's great. And what they mean really is we have the highest paid attorneys in the world. If you look at the results of the system, it is a catastrophe. Now, they wanted to know, what right do you have to be? Well, what right do they have? I mean, they're at every high-profile trial, and they get paid. They're on the courthouse steps talking about all these issues. So what? Their goal is to silence the Christian voice, apparently. If you want to read that flyer, you can see it even today. It's online, jurysafe.com. Real easy to find, jurysafe.com. You'll see the logo at the top that they showed on Court TV. You heard the one guest say the Bible could be played in any direction. You see, they're playing the Bible. They're playing God when they decide who should live and who should die. God said every murderer shall surely be put to death. Take no ransom for the life of a murderer. If you kill the innocent, you are to be put to death. So this headline here in Colorado, the sentence, Colorado murderer gets life, that in and of itself is an atrocity. And when folks Google these topics, like what does God say about the death penalty, we're so thankful that our material, in fact, this Jury Safe article, all the material shows up at the very top of Google, usually number one out of millions. Just Google the words God, death penalty. You find our article on God and the death penalty, New Testament support for capital punishment. And then it helps people find this program, Bob Inyard Live, and they learn about God as our creator, and the Bible is the word of God, and Jesus Christ as our Savior who was raised from the dead. And notice the point that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel. And those unbelievers and Christians who undermine the death penalty, they are, some know it, some don't, they're undermining the gospel. And that's why we need to be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor his word, the scriptures. Hey, we're out of time. Our website, kgov, kgov.com. In Denver, see you Sunday morning. God bless you.